Friday, October 31st, 1899. Mayalang, Philippines. Dear Dad, I just arrived today in Mayalang. It's great here. We're under heavy fire constantly from Aguinaldo's forces. Very exciting. I can't thank you enough for helping with the transfer. Have to run now. Give Mom a big kiss for me. Your loving son, Billy. Wednesday, November 5th, 1899, 7:10 p.m., Mayalang, Philippines. Chief Signal Officer Captain Carr sat at the large packing box that substituted for a desk in the deteriorating field tent. The mosquitoes entered freely through the wide rips and tears in the ancient fabric. He penned a few lines of his daily report before slapping at the unseen insects sucking the blood from his exposed, sweating arms. He cursed under his breath at the elusive pests. They always seemed to take flight before he could strike. Still, no progress to report. Another month of failure and frustration. How could they expect him to construct a telegraph line through 75 miles of enemy-held jungle without supplies? Yes, of course, it was important. If General MacArthur could only communicate with General Lawton's forces on the other side of the island, they could coordinate their attacks and defenses against the elusive Aguinaldo and dominate the island. Without supplies and the means to move them through, it was impossible. A loud voice interrupted his journal transcriptions.
"Permission to enter, sir."
He recognized the voice of young Billy.
"Been here for only 5 days. Probably wants to leave already. Can't blame him. Nothing to be done,"
he thought. He answered,
"Permission granted."
Billy Mitchell saluted smartly. Captain Carr had resigned himself to grant the request for transfer.
"Can't fool around with a senator, son."
"I've developed a plan, sir. I can do it."
"Do what, Billy?"
"Run the line, sir. You know, to General Lawton."
Captain Carr stared at Billy incredulously.
"He must be crazy. No, this must be some sick joke."
Captain Carr waited, smiling, for the punchline. Billy looked serious. Carr started laughing at the obvious joke.
"I'm serious, sir. I can do it,"
Billy repeated. Carr stopped smiling. In icy tones, he said,
"Lieutenant, we have no wire. We have no insulators. We have no poles. We have no batteries. Even if we did, we have no mules or horses to carry them through the jungle. Even if we had all of that, which we emphatically do not, it would take an entire army to get through 75 miles of jungle held by the enemy. Even if Aguinaldo's forces weren't there, which they most certainly are, it'd take boats to get across the rivers and climbing equipment to get over the mountains. Lieutenant, you're either a lunatic or an idiot. This conversation is ended. You are dismissed."
Captain Carr returned to his report. Billy stood his ground and took a notepad from his pocket.
"Please, sir, I've spent the last 5 days working out the details. At least let me show you. I know I can do it."
Captain Carr put down his pen and stared intently at Billy.
"He's the senator's kid, and the senator is good friends with the general. Maybe I should humor him."
He said sarcastically,
"Okay, Lieutenant, show me."
Billy came over to Carr's side of the packing case and excitedly started going through his extensive notes.
"We've got 2 sources for the wire. We can strip the barbed wire from the fence posts surrounding our compound. That'll get us the first 31 miles. The Spanish cannons use wire-wound barrels. I found almost 200 cannon barrels. If we unwind the wire from the barrels, that'll give us the remaining distance. I found several groves of large bamboo. That will give us the poles we need to support the wire. Our garbage dump is filled with glass bottles. We can break them and use the broken glass for insulators. This village has 20 water buffalo. We can make pack saddles for them using dried banana leaves and hemp. I've tried it already. It works. Captain Carr was now listening attentively. He was amazed at the work and effort that Billy had put into this incredible plan.
Okay, now you've got the supplies and transport. How do you get your army across the rivers and mountains?
Billy was warmed by the change of tone.
That's the part that stumped me, too, until the solution came to me earlier today. We don't take an army, only 20 men, without weapons. We tell them we are just the advance scouts and a large army is just behind us. If any harm comes to any of us, or if our wire is broken, the army following us will kill everyone in their village and burn it to the ground. The natives would never believe 20 unarmed soldiers would enter the jungle without an army behind them. It's got to work.
Captain Carr pushed himself back from his improvised desk and whistled in amazement at the bold plan.
And to get across the mountains and rivers, I suppose you all turn yourself into birds and fly across, right?
Billy continued, ignoring the sarcasm.
Almost. I've designed giant kites made of bamboo and cloth, which are easily carried. We attach our wire to the kites and fly them across all the obstacles.
Well, what do you think? Carr let out a long sigh and shook his head in disbelief.
I think that's the craziest plan I've ever heard. What do you do for batteries?
Billy nodded.
Batteries are a problem. Hopefully we will find some discarded old Spanish batteries on the other side of the island. If I can locate some sal ammoniac, I can revive them.
And if not? Asked Carr.
If not, we can use a trick I learned as a child. Table salt in water will produce a weak current. By keeping one hand in wet mud and touching the wire with the tip of my tongue, I can read the dots and dashes of the Morse code. It's not elegant, but it will work. What do you think?
Billy repeated.
I think your plan has a very slim chance of working, but it's the only one I've got, said Carr.
If you can find 20 other men bent on suicide, I'll let you try it. Billy's face broke into a broad grin as he saluted. With an enthusiastic, "Thank you, sir, we'll make it," he left the tent and rounded up his volunteers.